So, over a year ago, I created something called the 7-Day HA Recovery Commitment Challenge. And I've been running it for over a year. It was this free email-based challenge. So, lots of reading, but you would get an email every day for 7 days to help you overcome and tackle the different but important areas that you need to be checking off in order to get your period back. Now, over time, I have collected some really great feedback, and upon working with all of these wonderful, amazing women, really started to learn even more about what works and what doesn't. And so I'm excited to be introducing to you guys the updated version. It's called the 7-Day HA Recovery Kickoff, and it is totally designed to help you not just commit to the process and have all of your ducks in a row in terms of important factors that need to be tackled and issues that need to be overcome in order to get your period. But the whole thing is now based in video. So you can listen slash watch, and every day for 7 days, we will tackle nutrition. There's actually 2 days of that because it's so big. We'll tackle lifestyle, we'll tackle exercise, your support network, your mindset game. Each video goes from anywhere between 12 minutes and 5 minutes, so it's not very long, but you'll get all of the most important areas and the best tips and strategies for how to implement them. Because I know that going through recovery is hard. There's always an area for each person that is a little bit difficult to execute on. And so the goal, or maybe a lot difficult. So the goal of this challenge is to help you have the awareness, the self-awareness, and the tools and strategies you need to overcome each of the different issues that AHA recovery faces for us. So get on it. It's great if you're at the very beginning of recovery or if you're halfway through. I mean, we never know how far through we are until it's over, do we? But no matter where you're at, it can be a really good opportunity to check in and look for blind spots and areas where you might be dropping the ball in your nutrition, in your lifestyle, in, maybe it's your support network that's a problem. Maybe exercise is something that you are still struggling with making changes to. So check it out. Go to thehasociety.com/7-day-challenge, or the link will be on the website. So it may be in the show notes of this show. It may not be. Just go to thehasociety.com and you'll find it in the footer, or you'll find it in the pop-up that happens when you visit the page. And we will see you for day one of the challenge.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. Hey guys, welcome back to the HA podcast. Today we have a recovery story. I know you guys love it. This is a good one. This is Mina. First, welcome to the show, Mina.
Thank you. Well,
Glad to have you. Big personality, great talker. So I know that this is going to be an excellent episode. And she has, her sort of unique challenges of, like the vegetarian background and all of that good stuff. So I think that you guys will really enjoy the telling of Mina's HA recovery story, from start to where she is now. She has, so everyone still has a journey to go through. So we're never at the end, but Mina, will you take us through where, who are you, where are you from, and where did this all begin?
Thank you, Danny, for having me here. This will be fun. I don't know if I have ever really told my whole story because most of the time people either know parts of it or are with me for it, and so I don't actually tell them what happened. So I would say my journey to get to being here probably started when I was pretty young. My family has always been big on what would be called healthy eating and physical activity and everything. So when I was 6 years old, I became vegetarian. I decided that I didn't want to eat animals anymore. And so I'm now at 20 years with that. So that's been a long time I've been vegetarian. And from that, my mom was an amazing cook. So she made all of our meals and we ate veggies and whole grains and low fat products and a lot of the things that would have been considered, again, very healthy. So fast forward to my family moved to Brazil, and I was 13 and 14 then. And it was a whole different, we're Brazilian, but it was a whole different culture change. And when I came back, it felt like I was also somewhat different. So I wanted to make myself different as well. And one of those areas was I was going to be really healthy, like really, really healthy. So I started cutting out food groups. I took out sweets and chips and crackers, and I was fine with it. And for years, I was praised for being really healthy, for being really physical, and for always being able to do these things. Then, come high school, I went to a doctor, a specialist in something else entirely, and she told me, "You're going to get anorexia. What are you doing? You need to eat more." So we had a whole conversation about that, like at this appointment about something else entirely. And it really got me thinking that, yes, I was 16 with my junior year. I was really stressed and I wasn't eating very much. I'd already lost my period by that point. I ended up losing it then for 6 months, but nothing was really in my head. So I was able to start eating more again, working out a bit less, and I was able to get my period back pretty soon. That was great, but I didn't really change anything. I just started eating a more normal amount again. I still exercised. I did a lot of cardio most days. I did a weightlifting class. I really liked that kind of thing. Then college also went really well. I had a great time. I was making friends. I was still eating cafeteria food, but in a way that most college students don't. So I was fine. I ate a lot of salads. I ate a lot of oatmeal. It was cool. And then come junior year of college, I got really, really stressed again. And when I get stressed, I stop eating typically. So I was getting very thin again. That fall, I lost my period, but I wasn't too concerned because I thought it was just the school year and how stressed I was with that that was causing this. So I thought I would wait until the summer. And then when I, was only working, wasn't in class anymore, I'd probably have more time to eat some more, gain more weight, get back to a better place. It didn't quite work like that. I instead that summer began a really, really horrible eating disorder. So that consumed all of senior year and after. It was characterized by really, truly restricting almost everything and still compulsively exercising and a lot of mental breakdowns. So that was a really, really hard few years for myself, for my family, for everyone else around me. But I still graduated from college. I went, moved back. I was back home living with my parents, and I worked at my old high school job, was just trying to take things easier than maybe 6 months, a year after I'd graduated. I finally started being able to eat more. I don't know what switched in my brain because nothing was working to fix myself and get myself better. But all of a sudden, I could do it. I could just eat more. I could work out a little bit less. And I started gaining weight again. I got back to a healthier range and it felt good. It felt like I was somewhat back to how I should be. It felt normal. but I still had no period. I wasn't really honestly all that concerned because I loved not having my period. That was like the one plus of all of this. I hated my period. It was, over a week long and really heavy and came what felt like all the time, and I didn't like it. So I wasn't very concerned about that. But then I met Bruno, who's now my husband, and I was glad I was in a better place, but I started telling him what I'd been through and where I still was then, because I was nowhere near fixed. I was just better. And then once we were together, I started birth control after having the pap smear from hell. I don't know if this was anyone else's experience, but having no hormones closed everything up and was absolutely awful. So I went to an OBGYN and I was like, this is awful. And they prescribed me oral birth control and said that would give me my period back. At that point, I didn't understand that this was only a withdrawal bleed. It wasn't actually a real period. So it was great. My body responded to that. I started getting some hormones back again, but it wasn't actually my body creating them. So for about 3 years, I was on that and it worked pretty well. I felt good. I felt like, whoa, hormones are a cool thing. And then come right around after I got married last summer, I got off birth control knowing that we'd want to start having a family pretty soon. So even leading up to that, I'm a big planner. And so, a solid 6 months before I planned on coming off birth control, I went and met with an OBGYN and explained my history, explained my story, and said, what do I need to do? What do I need to know about this in advance? They weren't that helpful because I get the attitude, but the nurse there, she was very much of the opinion that that was then, this is now. I might be all better, I might be fixed. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Maybe it's true. Maybe it'll be the case. But if it's not, what do I do? So I had started trying to, in theory, eat a little bit more, but not really. So leading up to my wedding, I wasn't really doing anything different. And then maybe a couple weeks after our wedding, I came off birth control and they'd said, give it that typical 3 months to see if you get your period back. I knew I was likely not to, but I was hoping I would. So 3 months came and went and no period. So I went back to talk to them and they were helpful. So like we took blood tests and most things came out normal or slightly low. They did an ultrasound on me and everything looked fine other than like my uterine lining was very, 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 very thin, which they said probably I needed to gain weight. So that nurse was really cool. She acknowledged that I had an eating disorder and knew this might be hard for me, but she still recommended that if I was able to, if I could try to even gain like 5 pounds. So that fall, I was like, yes, I got this. I can gain 5 pounds. This isn't that hard. So I decided that the way to gain 5 pounds was obviously adding 1 tablespoon of almond butter a day. That would totally do it while still
For
doing
sure.
everything else the same. Exactly. That was my thought. So I did that. And surprise, surprise, it didn't actually do anything. But then after several months of really trying to be like, no, okay, work out a little bit less and eat a little bit more. I did gain a little bit of weight because I'd gotten pretty thin over the summer. And so I was able to gain back to more of a slightly more normal weight. Still no period. So after that happened, I was back at the doctor and they recommended that I do like the progesterone challenge, see if I could actually bleed. And if I could, then we'd go into different kinds of IVF and that kind of thing. But not that I'm at all opposed to going the medical route. I think that can be amazing and great. I just felt like I used to have a period. Like, I really used to. This used to work. I wonder if I can make it work again. So, in all of this, my older sister, she was actually really amazing and supportive, and she kept looking up resources for me. So, she's the one who told me about you probably have HA. Like, have you asked your doctor about this? You are missing a period. You used to have this. Do they know? So she sent me some different resources, some different people who work in the recovery field. And I started looking into that. And she didn't recommend you, but I came across your podcast and I was like, oh, this is really cool. I liked how you told it like it was, and I say that as a compliment. You explain that it's really hard, but this is why it happens, and you can get through it. Yeah. So I really like that. I liked how you did that. Then I was really all like fall and winter was really vacillating. Okay, should I do a program? Like, what if it doesn't work? I'll just waste money, and like there'll be no point in it. But I finally decided that no. I mean, if I'm trying to do things, let me really try to do this and figure this out. So I scheduled a couple of consultations with you and someone else. And I actually met with another lady first. And in that call, I said that I would rather not have to eat unhealthy food if I could help it. Like, I'll exercise less, I'll eat more, but I don't want to have to eat like dessert or anything. Like, can I do that? And she goes, you can, but I'm not sure this is a good fit for you. So we end that call with her recommending some eating disorder specialists and dietitians to me, saying you might need some work before you get here. And I don't want to say I did this all out of spite, but there was a part of me that was like, no, you don't think I can do this? Yeah. No. Like, I can do this.
That's interesting too. Mm-hmm. What I hear is the part where like being told like that response just makes it sound like, oh, you don't want to eat junk food. You probably have an eating disorder. It's very
still, yeah.
Like you like that I would have walked away being like, huh. I don't know if, you know, I see, but like you see it. Like I see what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, okay. All right. But so out of spite, you're
yes.
You're like, let's
slightly
just
out of spite. Yes. Yeah, so that same okay. day after the call, I went out to the freezer and like got a carton of ice cream. I was like, I'm gonna eat ice cream. I'm gonna prove this person wrong. Like, I'm going to show myself even that I can do this. So I started like in January, a 30-day challenge myself that I was going to try a new food, at least one, every single day. And this was actually a huge deal. I was eating things I had not eaten for more than 10 years easily. So it was very weird. And then in this time, I also had an initial meeting with you to see if Restore would be a good fit for me. And not only did you not tell me you didn't think I could do it, so I was like, yes, let's try to do this thing. And I signed up for the program and started Restore in February. So yeah.
Okay.
I would
and
say
Mishi, mm-hmm. right? I gave you
yes.
the Mishi. Yeah.
Yes, you did. And thank you for that wonderful, wonderful decision. I adore Mishi. She is the best. She was a great fit with me. So yeah, I started Restore, you know, the 10-week program. Have the weekly call check-ins, you have the help from one of your own kind of a personal coach, you have the community support, all of it. And that worked well for me. That is the kind of thing where I can do this kind of thing, because I was being told very clearly, this is how you got here, and this is what you need to do to get out of it. There were all the resources, there was all the help. All that I kind of had to do was actually implement it. I had to start doing the things. So I did, which was hard. I mean, it was a really, really big change from how I was used to living and being. Like the exercise component. I love working out. It makes me happy. It feels good. I've been doing it for years. And I like both working out and being physical. Both. And they're slightly different. So I loved that part of my life. Every single day I'd work out. I would do cardio. I would do weightlifting. I'd play tennis. I'd go biking. Like, I would do stuff. It was wonderful. It was a thing I would do with my husband. We'd do it together. And I know a lot of people do this in different ways, but I thought that for me, the easiest way to avoid sliding back into old habits would be to stop it entirely. So I stopped working out as of February. I know not everyone does that, and whatever works best for people, but for me, I was even afraid of stretching. I was so afraid that if I started stretching, because I was so sore and stiff, that a stretch would turn into a plank, would turn into push-ups, would turn into me going and finding my weights. And I was like, I don't want to do that. So about the only thing I've done for the last 5 months is walking. And not even like I plan to go walking more. Like, friends ask me to go walk. My mom wants to walk with me. I go walk a little bit. So that was a huge, huge change in my life, but I wanted to do that. And then the other big part was the food part. So how I was used to eating was probably still very much a disordered eating way of eating, because I would have safe foods. Absolutely. I'd have the things I would eat, the things other people would eat, and the two did not cross. And that worked well for me. My husband, he is amazing and understanding and like will put up with all kinds of things. So he would have dinner. I'd make him dinner. I would have dinner. We'd have it together, but we'd have entirely different foods. So that was how it was. And I also had, since having an eating disorder, I'd gotten into only eating twice a day. I would eat breakfast and I would eat late at night, like 9 or 10 o'clock. And I would not eat anything in between. So that come last fall, I started, you know, eating a handful of nuts in the afternoon or something, but not really doing any real snacks or meals. So doing this program where I see in my protocol, eat every 2 to 3 hours. That was rough. That was really, really rough.
But fair enough. Thank you. I think it would have been, I think that's tough for anyone to implement snacks, because you're already being asked to eat more at your meals. Now you want to implement snacks, and everyone's feedback, you know, because it's true, is like, I feel that I am stuffing myself. Like, this is crazy town. It's like, it's uncomfortable for a plethora of reasons. It's physically uncomfortable. It's emotionally uncomfortable. It can be a little digestively uncomfortable. Your body's mm-hmm. changing because of it, which is now making you connect the two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So it was hard. Thank you. But I was still trying to do it. I would say that one of the most difficult things was eating breakfast first thing in the morning within 30 minutes. I've barely dragged myself out of bed, put my contacts in, and gotten down so I could make myself something in 30 minutes. So I tried on that one. And then the eating consistently, even if I was telling myself instead of 2 to 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours go by very fast when you are at work and you get busy. So I would try, but that was a part I found difficult, but I was still doing it. I was doing the things, and we were really working, Mishi and I, on changing my food groups. So swapping out all my fruit and all my vegetables, basically, for a lot of more calorie dense foods. So I was doing carbs, I was doing bread, I was doing lots of potatoes, I was doing butter, I was doing olive oil, I was doing whole milk, I was doing real cottage cheese, real yogurt, all of these. So I did that. And in many ways, I was actually so surprised that it didn't feel as hard as I thought it would, because I worked so hard at the beginning of starting this program, even before starting this program, of telling myself that I was going to do this and I was going to enjoy it. I mean, how many people get to say, yeah, I'm going to go eat some more toast with butter? It's a really good thing. I won't be able to have this my whole life. So I was trying to tell myself, lean into the idea that this can actually be fun. I will say, it got less fun once I started gaining a lot of weight and none of my clothes fit me. Mishi kept recommending that everyone get rid of your old pants. Just get rid of them. Buy new ones. You'll be so much happier. You'll be a better person. It'll be great. And the first few weeks, I just got so busy. I hate shopping. I didn't even want to go and find anything. I'm like, I'll be fine. I know nothing is closing, but like, it'll work out. So there was a solid week at my job where the only pants that would fit me were leggings. So I went to work all week, 1 week in just leggings, because nothing else would fit. Once I got new clothes, I think that was a big turning point. It really was a mental help to have things that actually fit me. I went through all my closets, all my drawers, put away all the other clothes that didn't actually work for me, and was like, I'm starting fresh. So all of these things then led to about 5.5 weeks into the program, I got my period, like my first period in 6.5 years. And
amazing. Halfway through the whole 10 weeks. Like,
yeah, I was so amazed and so astonished and so happy, because it had actually worked. Like, it really, really, really helped. And like, I even ovulated before it. And like, I got that period. So it really gave me the encouragement to keep doing this and keep trying to make this work. So I now, yesterday, got my fourth period. So things are still, they're moving along. Yeah, they're working well, which is really, really wonderful. I still have more to do because speak of both like legitimate and perfectionistic tendencies. My luteal phase, as a lot of people, is still too short. So I want to try to send some magical thinking to make it longer. So hopefully that one will happen, will work. But yeah, that's about where I am currently.
Y'all, we have been trying to record this for like 30 minutes. So here we go. Take 580.
Hey, did you know that we support people with HA, low progesterone, anovulation, short luteal phases, and all of the types of challenges that come up with infertility?
Danny and I are practitioners that have helped hundreds of women beat HA, regain fertility, and get pregnant naturally.
Mm-hmm. We are here to break the status quo of spending tens of thousands of dollars on IVF treatments for women who have issues that can absolutely be solved naturally.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So we do this with our signature program that restores ovulation to regain healthy menstrual cycles. And if you're ready, get pregnant completely naturally.
Mm-hmm. On top of our one-on-one sessions, our fertility program even includes a styling session with Samantha Dawn, who is a body positive stylist. She's also our personal stylist.
Yes.
And an expert in helping you to dress your new and nourished body.
This is so important that we don't even need to convince you on how important this is. We want you to relearn how to nourish your body, claim your fertility, and feel confident in your clothes as your body changes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be painful.
No, yeah, exactly right. It doesn't have to be painful. With a little bit of guidance and support, you can absolutely do this. So if getting your cycle back and if feeling good about the process, if getting pregnant naturally is something you want to do, if you don't want to spend tens of thousands of dollars on medical treatment for something that you don't have to, we have just the place for you to go. So go to thehasociety.com/coaching to learn more about who we are, what we do, and apply today.
Yeah. We looked forward to supporting you.
That was good. Do you like that one?
Yeah, okay. I do like that one. That one's way more us.
Yeah. Boom. There you go. That's so cool. So was your goal pregnancy now, or were you prepping for pregnancy?
I would say prepping. So mm-hmm. I joined this program and my husband and I had an agreement. He's convinced pregnancy will kill me. So I said that legitimately thinks I will die. So okay. I told him that we had an agreement that after a certain number of decent, not perfect, but decent cycles, like then we could start talking about actually trying to have children. But because I really, sure, my first goal in all of this, I came off birth control. I wanted my period back to have a family. But the more I learned about it, the more I realized that, yeah, that's a great and worthy goal and I want that. But I want to physically be healthy. I want my bones, I want to not have osteopenia anymore. That'd be awesome. Yeah. I want to have all my internal organs fix themselves. I want to be able to live a long and decently healthy life. I need my period. I need my menstrual cycle. I need my hormones for that to happen. So I wanted to do it for me. And then even more than that, I wanted to mentally get into a place where I can do the best job I can to not give my children my same problems with food and exercise and everything. So I needed to work on myself before I could get to anywhere else.
Damn right. That's so mature. A lot of people need to hear that. A lot of people need to hear that piece. A lot of us are maybe like our partners also aren't as clued in either. Like, when we are in such a depleted state that we are not cycling, we're holding on by threads, and we say, I'm just going to force my body into pregnancy and I'm going to deal with my health problems later. No, you're not. You know what I mean? Because you're going to keep getting this evidence that you can just push your body to the brink and live. Right? Because the other consequence is die, and then you don't get to fix anything. So there's that. But yeah. Like, so like that's your, you know, and then your brain just goes, oh, that wasn't so bad or whatever. Right?
Because our bodies can go through so much and still make it out. It does somewhat tell us that we could treat them really poorly and they should still be able to work for us, but it doesn't necessarily work on that. Currently, I'm really trying to tell my body that no. Use the Mishi language. She is safe. Like, I'm keeping her safe. We're good. We're happy. We're healthy. We're not being chased by any tigers. Like, it's okay. I've got this. So I'm trying to work on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, it's wise. It's wise, especially if you do have something like osteopenia, osteoporosis, you know, where, and like, how would you treat your child? You would have, you know, you wouldn't push their body into something it's not ready for. We need to mother ourselves before we can mother somebody else. The whole thing, you know, we need to be in the best space we can be in order to make it through, to have a decent postpartum period, to be a decent parent. Like, it just, it's, this is harsh, but I think some people listening need to hear it. It's selfish to push your body into pregnancy when you're physically and mentally not ready.
And you know? It's also just not healthy. Because if you took me 2 years ago, pretend I could get pregnant, I'm not sure I would have been in a good place for that. Go back further, 4 years, 6 years, even worse. I wouldn't want to do that to myself or to anyone else. I want to first get myself into a good place to be able to do this. And then even just, it is amazing what good hormones do in one's life. Mm. My mood is better. I'm less anxious. I'm a happier person. I'm more chill. Like, there's all kinds of benefits like that. Who wouldn't want to have that?
Yeah. No, you're right. It's, I mean, that's why I'm here, right? That's why we're here. And like, we advertise pregnancy and babies, but what, like, when we started this business, it was, we actually only marketed get your period back, because I think it's important, so you must think it's important. But I kind of realized over time that people don't value it as much as they need to. Like, people will, they value having a baby, they value being pregnant. Then as well, I think, like, you know, people may be more responsive to reverse the osteoporosis, right? Mm-hmm. Live longer. It's not about the period, right? It's about what the period brings. But all of the improvements to your lifestyle, that the changes that you need to make that bring the period, are like, that's what it's really about, is like the quality of life, and just the fact that you get your health back only improves your ability to enjoy the quality of life. So it's like actually a win-win-win, which is so funny, because it just, like, we're all listening now and going, yeah, like, this is a no-brainer. Well, why can't we just do it? Like, why are we all struggling so much? So what were some of the things that, and I know you've already touched on them, but just to, like, really connect here, like, along the way, what were the one or two of the main challenges for you? It was changing body. It was eating a lot. Like, what would you say were the big ones?
I would say the biggest challenge that I had was trying to redefine myself Because for so many years, I had thought of myself as one kind of person, as living my life in one kind of way. I mean, so many of us say it, but I was fit. I was healthy. I ate well. I was, relatively speaking, sometimes happy. Things were going well for me. The idea that, okay, my friends are talking about working out, but I'm not. I'm eating an ice cream with my husband when I'm talking to an old friend about the fact that he bought 50 pounds of chia seeds. Like, it was hard for me to try to change who I was and wanted to be, but I felt a really good way of doing that was reminding myself that I was not one-dimensional, that there were so many aspects of myself that I could lean into. A big part was when I would normally work out, I don't do, I'm not very good at chilling. I don't do just like empty time and empty space and doing nothing. I don't just scroll on my phone. I'm not good at those things. So I had to find something to replace the time that would have usually been spent exercising that still gave me a good feeling, that still made me happy and feeling accomplished. So I really went back to other things that I enjoy. And like, I write. I like writing stories. So a ton of this time, I wanted to create. I wanted to be able to do something else that I was proud of and that would make a longer lasting difference in at least my life and maybe someone's. Like, if I could publish something one day, I would love that. I would love to be an author. And what kind of story would it be to say, yes, I was working on me, my mental and physical health. I wrote the story in 2024 when I was trying to get my menstrual cycle back. I would say that. I would totally say that. So I really wanted to do that. I was able to focus on those kind of things, but it was still really hard not feeling like me, like worrying that I was losing who Mina was. So that was a big part for me.
Yeah, I love that you started writing. Like, when people introduce this creative outlet that, like, in your head, like, I just don't do that anymore. Or maybe one day I'll do that. Like, why the hell not now?
Yeah, I've been writing since I was for more than 10 years. And so, but when I get busy, I stop writing. That's one of the first things to go. So I decided that when I had more free time, that was a great thing to try to do. So that was one part that I really wanted to work on myself. I would say another hard thing for me, which I hate even saying that, but it really was the weight gain. Weight gain has not been, I knew it was going to happen. I didn't go into this thinking, I'm not going to gain weight, or I'm only going to gain a set amount of weight. I really did try to start this program thinking, I will do what will make my body happy. I will do what will make it functional and working again. But still, that is very easy to say in theory, and then much harder when I gained weight and nothing fit me. And how many people asked me if I was pregnant was just not even fun. So having to deal with that one didn't actually help things necessarily, but it was okay because I also wanted to be open about this. I've told a lot of people about having had an eating disorder and what that was like for me. So this was somewhat a continuation of that. I shared with the people I was close to and cared about, my family, my friends, my coworkers, and said, this is what I'm doing. And then when I got those lovely comments of, well, but are you pregnant, Mina? Like, you just got married and you gained some weight. Like, are you pregnant? I could be like, no, I'm not pregnant. Let me explain this to you.
You gotta have, like, you definitely have some grace for it, you know, like, I get it. Like, I just got married, and for the first time ever, you're seeing me gain some weight, like in the face and stuff. Like,
yes,
I'd probably think you were pregnant too. It just is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yes, being young and female and newly married and gaining weight, those things equal pregnancy. So I did understand that part, but it is still hard even wrapping my head around the idea that not only have I gained weight, which is fine, but maybe I was living my whole life not being the right size for my body. That's what I'm currently dealing with. because my body seems happy at this place. I'm cycling decently. I'm a more content person. I just seem to be in a good physical state. And so that makes me think, wow, if I'm a solid 20 pounds more than I've ever weighed in my whole entire life, does that mean I was underweight? Even the times where I thought I was fine, because when I had an eating disorder, I did weigh too little. I know that. But like other points, no, I was fine. I was just small. It was okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So where are you at right now with processing that? Because you said it's kind of a current thing.
It is kind of a current thing. I think I am accepting the idea that I might be more a range of what I am currently, a little bit up, a little bit down, going forward for the rest of my life. And I don't think I necessarily want to lose weight. I just feel sad for the idea that I spent possibly so long not taking care of my body, not nourishing it right. That, and if I hadn't done this, if I hadn't lost my period, would I ever have realized? Would I always have just thought, no, I'm a small person. I don't need to be bigger.
But yeah, I think I love I think I'm this fine topic. Like I am. I love this topic. I actually don't know if we've ever even like addressed this on directly. Like, so, cause so many people will, the first thing they'll say to us is like, I know I'm at my healthy weight. What? What do you mean you know? Like, how does anyone know? Like, I'm not even sure if I'm at like my healthy weight. What does that even mean? How do you know that if you do not have a missing period and we have so much evidence, we know what this is about? Like, how can you look me in the eye and say, I'm at my healthy weight? And I've heard other people say, like, not even in the HA space, like just random friends be like, I just don't think I need to be this big. Oh yeah. Like based on what information, like if we really dig into where this narrative is coming from, I think we'll get a lot of information, right, about like reality.
In large part, it comes from society. It comes from the people around us who validate us for being the size. It comes from doctor's appointments where they tell you, you're in really good shape. You're right where you should be. I mean, maybe you're even a little bit below what your BMI should be, but like, you're doing great. We're told that by everyone around us, and that is the standard we want to reach. So yeah, we're going to think this is fine for me. And especially if you are the kind of person to push through. If you don't feel great, but you can still make yourself do things, you can still be productive, you can still get a workout in, you can still work your job, you can still do all of these things. That is confirmation to you that you're okay. So it's mind-blowing to think maybe you aren't.
Yeah. Like, you know, when you say it, when you say, I know I'm at my healthy weight, like, how truly confident do you feel when you say it? Like, what do you actually feel in your body when you say it? Like, are you, I'm willing to die on this hill confident? Or is there actually like a pang of fear, guilt, uncertainty that comes in when you say that? Because if you're feeling pangs of that in any of your statements, I eat enough, I weigh enough, I don't exercise too much. Like, if you feel that in any of your statements, you probably need to talk to some other person just to get like a third party perspective, right? And somebody who understands this stuff, not Stacy from the gym, because she's going to tell you eat too much because there's so like the conflicting information out there. You need to decide for yourself based on the information you have, what do you really think? And remove away the societal pressure that you're talking about. What are the facts of the matter? Mina, love it. You've already said a couple of these things, but let's just like, feel free to reiterate or come up with something new, up to you. Someone who is struggling to make the decision to really just like commit, because you just did such a good job of being like, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Like, let's go. Somebody who's on the edge, like of making a decision or making that next change or whatever, like what would you encourage them as somebody who did it herself?
I would say to just try it. That is very simple, but all of the fears that lead, that go into doing this, what will happen? What's the worst thing that can happen? Yeah. They're probably not going to kill you. You're probably not going to lose your friends. You probably won't lose your partner. You probably won't lose your job. You might instead gain something, and you won't really lose anything at all. And after some time, at least for me, it got better. At the beginning, it was terrible. The first few weeks, gaining weight, eating a ton, not feeling like myself, feeling like this is never going to go away. It's not even going to work. I am never going to be able to sustain this long term. I then have gotten to a place where maybe including some working out, I'd like to work out again more, but I could do this. I could do this in my life and I could probably be happy. I would say to anyone considering doing this, please just try it. Like if you're able to, if you are in a physical and emotional, a financial place that you can work on yourself, try. Just like give it a shot. You might be surprised by what happens.
Yeah, just maybe. And when we say try, we mean like proper try. All right.
Oh, no, like all your efforts kind of try.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Because like when you say just try, it's like just try with all of your effort. Okay.
Let me make a distinction. Do not try like I did at the beginning by eating one extra tablespoon of almond butter. That is not trying. That is not trying at all. Like you have to really truly commit to doing this. But I still say try because you're testing it out. You're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna mess up. That's okay. That is all fine and understandable. But you just have to give it your best effort. You have to put yourself out there and really commit to doing this. Again, nope, don't just do one tablespoon of almond butter. It's not going to do anything. Promise.
You're giving Ashley right now. Like you would be a great coach, I think. I think you'd be such a good coach, but a tablespoon of almond butter is not trying.
It's not.
Mm-mm. Just so but you know, like, that, it didn't work. Yeah, that's like, that's what she'd look at food views and just be like, this is not trying. Right. Like I say with love and because that's the other thing, right? We say with love and compassion, which I feel from you. I get it. I love it. I love you. Great compassion. And this isn't going to do anything. So what do we want to try next? How about all of our effort? Let's go. Yeah, I like it. You're an inspiration. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Mina. This was a pleasure. Love
it. This was lovely. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. I look forward to seeing you in a future call. Always keep us updated as things progress, when you actually are pregnant, all that good stuff.
I will. Thank you. Yeah,
no problem. Thank you so much. And I hope everybody enjoyed this episode. And if you like resonated with Mina, because I mean, I do this sometimes, people are like, oh, this is my person. Y'all just email me, danny@thehasociety.com. If you're just like, I need to speak to Mina, I'm sure I can introduce you guys through email. You can chat if you feel like, because I just know that she's more than willing to give you her two cents. If you
yes, resonate. I actually will agree with that because being part of the HA Society, the community aspect is amazing. I have made so many friends there and it's really, really lovely to get to have people who understand this. So honestly, truly, like anyone can again reach out to Danny, reach out to me, that I'd be happy to talk.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks, Mina. You have a great day. Everyone Thanks. Else have a great day. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. It's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients. because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So TempDrop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle is not slipping back in the HA direction, TempDrop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the TempDrop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society. Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast. And if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.